Warning. The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Oh, like God. Honey buns,
bug.
Oh, God. You two are so disgusting.
We are.
I know. We're a married couple that likes each other. What the heck?
That's not American. What the hell?
America.
I like my ex. Is that weird?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. But I like him too sometimes.
I haven't seen him in a while, but I did like him.
If you're listening. No, I meant my ex.
Oh,
my
okay.
ex.
You meant
oh,
mine.
Your ex. Oh, okay.
We're recording, aren't we?
Yes,
oh, yeah.
We are.
Most definitely. Nice.
I meant, like, because I actually have exes. Well, you know, Chris
yeah.
from Nerd Bliss Podcast. I love him and his wife. They are the perfect match, and that's why we should have never... Why it was a good thing we dated for while we did, and we stopped when
okay,
we did.
Okay, so we're going to leave our love lives off the table now.
Yes. Can I please save me? Get me off of this filming. Okay. All right.
So. We actually have a good guest. Why? Let me tell you about this girl I used to pine for back in the day.
Go ahead.
Henry Cavill.
Hi.
So, Dave, welcome. To
Hello.
Guardians of the Geekery.
Dave's like, what the fuck did I walk into?
Well, you know what? That just answered my first question. Was like, what's the rating here?
Yeah.
Explicit. Okay. Explicit.
Yeah. We always try.
We don't fucking know.
Groovy. Groovy. All right. Well, in that case, yeah. Let me tell you on the ride here. What in the world have they done around that interstate up there?
Oh my God!
There's like arrows and turns and lines, and I'm like,
he got
this
off
is
at
the
exit
biggest
28,
clusterfuck
yeah.
of roads oh. I've ever seen in my life.
So literally, it's like somebody was really high and said, "Hey, let's make everything European for like half a mile, so everybody has to drive on the opposite side of the road for just a hot second."
It was kind of scary. I'm like, I don't want to go back on the
there
interstate.
Were so
like,
many.
I want to go this way.
There were so many accidents when that exit ramp opened up. So many.
It's weird, yeah.
Now the only people who drive it are people who either Waze takes you there or we know it well enough to know
I know which
how
of the four lanes to get in. And, yeah.
Welcome to traffic in North Carolina.
Yeah. See, this is why I stay on the south side of Charlotte, and I don't usually I don't come up on the north side. Only for you guys.
Thank you.
And they're like, We're going to start recording about 7. I'm like, you are out of your fucking mind. have you seen 77?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Carol leaves at 6
yeah.
to come here. So.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't take 77. I take
85. 45. I take 45. I'm like, I don't care if it's going to take me. It may take me 10 minutes longer to get from work on past the little construction of Providence Road. But then once I'm past that, I'm good. So
I just Steel can't
Creek
stand
is
it.
Just, yeah, Steel Creek's a parking lot in the morning. So
oh, my God. So anyway. Welcome to the podcast.
This has been traffic.
This is Dave Harlequin with our traffic direction.
Sponsored by Waze.
So before you get too comfortable and tell us what the heck you're here to talk about.
Okay.
Our question of the day is, if it was the zombie apocalypse or any apocalypse you choose, what 5 things would you put in your bug out bag?
What 5 things would I put in my bug out bag for a zombie apocalypse? Let's start with a gun.
And
food.
You're allowed to put bullets with the gun as one
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's one thing.
A loaded weapon. food, medicine. Like a general first aid kit. Does that count as one thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as it's a kit. If you have to put it together, that's not one thing.
Okay. So that would be a loaded gun, a first aid kit, food. like any kind of food rations I could grab. Something to read, because I would imagine it would get really boring. So a good book.
I think that's it.
Yeah. That's four.
That's four. Okay. Yeah. Then some really cool Wesker glasses. Because let's be honest, my fat ass is probably going to turn. And I want to at least hope that I can turn like the cool turn. Like I can be like the guy who has the zombie virus and like I'm still like me.
So you're like, what
like
was
guy
it?
Zombie.
Yeah.
What was the zombie's name in Dawn of the Dead or Day of the Dead?
Oh,
was it Bud?
Yeah, it was. It was, I think it was
Bubba?
Bud
or Bubba. I can't remember. But yeah, they were trying to train him. It didn't work.
Was it Bub?
Like in
I think it was Bub.
Shaun of the Dead, Nick Frost.
Yeah.
At the end.
What's no, that? That was Peter Shinovitz. There's no, another. Nick Frost. Yeah. No,
Peter at the end. At the end.
Peter Shinovitz. I don't even know how to
his name is the hardest.
I know. It's The Tick.
There is a zombie movie I keep scrolling past where it's they keep a zombie as a pet cult and it's Fido.
It's Fido.
Oh, yeah. Fido's funny.
Fido's awesome.
It's really fun. Yeah. It's actually a well done horror comedy.
Yeah.
Which is not an oxymoron. They actually do exist. They're just so few and far between.
Yeah.
There's the one about the couple that got married on their like wedding night and then he's trying to like not go zombie on her or something.
The Newly Deads?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, that one was pretty funny.
That's pulled out of Obscura right there.
Wow.
So Dave, tell us your background in film and why you might possibly be here on the podcast other than just because we wanted to torture you by making you drive north in Charlotte.
It was just an excuse. Really, I don't do anything. I was just here for an excuse to hang out with you guys. Let's see. I've been working in film since off and on since about 2007. I didn't really get seriously deep into film per se until about, I guess, 2014. Okay. Some really good friends of mine were doing this little project for charity. I was a journalist and still am. That's kind of the duality of what I do. And they wanted to do this like Doctor Who fan film project for charity. And so I jumped on board with them and just did it and had a lot of fun doing it. Anyway, like we got to the point where we're like, you know, I think I want to try like actually doing like a film, and so like not a fan film, and so we did that, and then hooked up with this guy named Adam York, and we started working together on a lot of films, and the rest they say is history.
And you've recently released your first or second film?
My second, actually, and my first serious film, actually. It's a short film called Closing Time, and it's currently touring the film festival circuit and everything. I wrote and produced it. Adam York directed it, and Patrick Keenan and Kevin Helms star in it.
Oh, cool.
All right.
So, yeah, it's touring the film festival circuit.
You everywhere. May recognize Patrick Keenan. He's the face of Harris Teeter's Butcher Shop.
That is not actually Patrick. See, that is...
is that is the running
Thomas?
Joke?
That's Thomas the Butcher.
Thomas the Butcher. But if you watch Mad One Films, you recognize him from a couple of...
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
If you've ever watched a film that was produced in North Carolina, there's like a 90% chance Patrick was in it somewhere. Doing something.
Yeah. He's that guy.
Back in the day, like long before I actually got into film per se myself, and I was just a journalist, I worked with a lot of film festivals. True story. One such film festival that was here in the Carolinas that I was helping judge for, and they sent me like the entry submissions. I swear to God, 90% of them plus Patrick was in that film. And I'm like, I actually got to the point where I just called him, and I'm like, dude. You were in fucking everything. Right.
But sometimes that's the way to do it. I mean, who was it?
Michael Caine. Yeah,
no, no, no.
Charles the Revenge.
Hong. The guy from Blade Runner that does the eyeballs.
James Hong.
James Hong. Thank
Hong.
You. I couldn't. Yeah, he was in like 500 films before he passed away. And, you know, the voiceover works and everything. And it's like.
Wasn't he Lopan?
He was Lopan. Yes, he was Lopan in Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes.
And then Mystery Science Theater 3000 or Cinematic Titanic fans, he was also in East Meets Watts, which is awesome. Oh.
Well, and he was in a bunch of Hawaii Five-O's because he could just act like every single part. So. Yeah.
And MASH because he looked Asian.
Yeah. Well, and there was another guy. There was a guy that passed away this week, and that was the same thing. It was like he was in MASH repeated, but he wasn't the same character. He was a different character.
Oh,
but he was one of the only legitimate Korean actors at the time in the Americas, and they just kept hiring. And so, yeah. So anyway, so tell us a little bit about Closing Time.
Okay. It's a short film. It clocks in about 20 minutes in runtime. It tells the story of an aging bartender who works in this kind of nowhere going roadside dive bar. And it's just a really slow night. He's trying to go home. He's not feeling well. And a very strange individual stops by the bar, you know, preventing him from closing. So these two get to know one another, and we find out there's a little bit more going on beneath the surface.
Well, there you go. And are you already currently working on your next project?
That's true. We're working on a comedy next. It's kind of a satire of the old, like, 1950s, 60s propaganda films.
Oh, wow.
And it's called The Devil's Lettuce 2, Edible Evil. So Jason Buterin is starring in it alongside Blair Hoyle. And Jason plays a cult leader. And what it is
I don't see it. I don't see
surprise. It. Yeah. It's a stretch for him, but you know, he's a good actor. I think he can do it.
Yeah.
But
for those who don't know, Jason Buterin is from Mad One Films. And again, somebody we hang around with at the cons a lot. So.
You know, it's funny because the whole Devil's Lettuce thing just started as a joke. We were all telling around, you know, around the drinks at the cons. And like, dude, we should just do this. Like, let's just make it. And if it sucks, whatever. And I mean, it absolutely did suck in all the best ways. And a lot of people thought it was funny. It did a great tour on the festival circuit. It won a bunch of awards. Suddenly, finally, we got it on to Amazon Prime. And then we got some network interest in it, saying like, let do a sequel. I'm like, but oh, okay, like I'll do a sequel. But like, how can I top that? Like, oh, I know. Now we've got it in edible form, so we can do like the bake sale from hell. And and anyway, like yeah, Jason's like this communist cult leader because you know the evil, dreadful commies are gonna push their drugs on you, and yeah. It's extremely self-aware. It's extremely tongue-in-cheek, and we absolutely do not want to change any of that because we're just having fun with this one.
Tongue-in-cheek, not lettuce-in-cheek, because it is edible. I just want to clarify. That's true. Okay, cool.
Oh, also, this drug also kind of makes you see giant, freaky rabbits that may or may not actually be there and trying to break into our universe.
Whoa.
I highly recommend Devil's Lettuce. It was actually a fun little film.
How long is Devil's Lettuce?
Devil's Lettuce is 12 minutes. It's currently on Amazon Prime right now. If you have a Prime membership, you can watch it for free.
We do.
And every time you watch it, I get 8 cents.
I'm going to watch it twice.
Awesome. 16 cents, ladies and gentlemen. And you too. You too out there in listener land, you can watch this film for free on Amazon Prime if you have an account.
It's a way to support local without having to pay a thing.
You don't have to pay any money. They'll pay it for you.
That's huge getting on Amazon.
I'm asking you to donate 12 minutes of your time.
Tiffles, can you commit?
I can.
Thank you.
You're racking it up right here.
Oh, yeah.
Carol, will you commit to watching
them,
it again?
Getting them view counts.
I'll watch it again. Yeah.
All right.
Hashtag do it for the content.
Matt and I will each watch it separately on two different IPs so that you get double pay.
Nice.
That's the way to do it.
This is why you need geek friends, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. By the end of this podcast, you'll have enough for a Coke.
Wow, yeah. That means in like 2 weeks I can buy a Red Bull.
In 1950.
Yeah.
That's
right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, Devil's Lettuce 2, we're going to start principal photography on it in May. And we're only looking at like a 2-3 day shoot. Again, these little shorts like this are super simple. So yeah, after that, we've got 4 other projects, which I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about yet. But we've got 4 other projects coming up on and slated to work on. All 4 of them, I believe, are much more serious projects.
Okay.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good then that you have something to kind of laugh on while you're getting ready for it.
You got to break up the monotony. You really do.
So what do you find to be the toughest challenge of being in the film industry?
The toughest challenge of being in the film, honestly, my own brain. and I guess I should expand on that. Having chemical imbalances in my own brain tends to I will tend to get very focused on one thing, and then like I will try to get onto something else, but I can't let go of thing A. I don't think I'm explaining this very well.
No, you actually,
yeah, makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I should mention that he's drinking Red Bull. So
trying to detach myself from taking everything personally is probably my biggest challenge. Because a lot of the time, especially the more serious stuff, they're very personal stories to me. Sure. And so I try to get those, stories out there, and then I just, usually just put my blinders on. Like, I don't want to read critiques. I don't want reviews. I don't want anything.
Yeah. It's hard, you know, I mean, when you've worked on something really hard, I know with Gala for a while, the day after, I would just be scrolling through Facebook, and then if somebody said something negative, it could be like, you could have had the best gala ever, and then you're just like,
yeah, it's like those 200 positive reviews just get trashed by that one person, that one jerk that just has obsessed to say something negative.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, I'm trying every day to, stick with pure positivity, only positive energy and all that, and just ignore all the negative. And as somebody a lot more famous and smarter than me once said, remember the compliments you receive and forget the critiques. And if you remember how to do that, please tell me how.
I always say, you learn from the critiques and try to see
if they're valid.
If they're valid or where that person might have been in their life. Yeah. I went off on somebody who was a CVS marketing person because they said, your dad would like this. And I'm like, my dad is dead. Thank you for reminding me,
Wow.
And it's like, yeah, maybe they could have worded that carefully, differently so it wouldn't trigger people. But that's not the intent. I mean, they didn't mean to do that. That wasn't harmful on purpose. And I probably didn't make a very nice day for them. So I apologize, CVS person. But, but it's that kind of thing. It's like if somebody's coming at you and you're like, look, you've got a lot of problems, so I'm just going to forgive you for that shit.
Right.
But if somebody says something is valid, I mean, sometimes people say something and at first you don't want to hear it. And then you go back and say, okay, maybe they could have said it differently or maybe I took it kind of harshly. But, I could see how we could do this differently or that differently next time.
Totally.
Then that still makes a positive because, if everybody tells you everything's great, you're never going to get better. So...
'Tis true. And honestly, I look at it this way in like a kind of a semi-serious way of like, I have earned every bad review I will ever get. Thankfully, I have not gotten very many at all. But I believe that I am owed so many trash reviews because I've been a journalist for like a decade and I have trashed a lot of films. So I've got a lot of this coming to me.
Yeah, well... Yeah. Here at the Guardians of Geekery, our motto is be honest but kind. So so when we tell you it stinks, we only do it from a place of love.
There you go. It stinks, but like not in a bad way.
Yeah. But like I'm sure a little Listerine will fix that. So.
So talk about your journalism career because you are actually you do have two careers going here.
Yeah, I'm a man of many hats.
Funny because I've only ever seen you in the black baseball cap. So
that's true, but I have a lot of black baseball caps.
Okay.
He does. Okay. He kind of has an outfit.
I do.
Yeah.
It's always a black baseball cap. It's usually a black work shirt and some kind of weird T-shirt. I believe in doing what works.
Yeah,
and finding 75 outfits.
You're the Michael Kors of nerdity.
Steve Jobs did it.
Yep.
There you go. Einstein too.
It's like one less decision you have to make. That's what they say.
That's true.
Luckily I'm a guy and I can still get and guys can still get away with that in this culture. I just fuck it, whatever. What's clean? But okay, so yeah, I've been a journalist for like I said, like over a decade now. I first started out like most kids do, wanting to be a journalist, and writing for school newspapers and stuff like that. I quickly learned that I don't really want to report the news because the news is so often bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, I found out about entertainment journalism, fresh out of high school. I'm like, that's what I want to do. And so fast forward a few years after that, and I started writing for a horror magazine, like an old print publication. Ladies and gentlemen, there used to be a thing called magazines that were in print, and they put it on paper.
You had to go
Tell
buy
us
them.
More, Uncle
you
Dave.
Had to go to you a actually, store and buy them.
Yeah, you actually paid money for paper products.
Or they sent them to you. But you had to wait.
Yeah, we would mail them to you in the mail.
Yeah. That is also a thing that but, yeah,
it was a
post office doesn't just bring Amazon packages.
Yeah, believe it or not.
I think Amazon's trying to get their own post office now. Like at gas stations, they got like these lockers. Well,
they do. Yeah. So you can hide your purchases from your family.
Yeah, that makes sense. I never actually thought of it that way.
It's hard to deny
that's
it.
Totally why.
A shit ton of boxes, empty boxes in here with this big smiley.
Get this locker. We know what you get in it. Yes. But no, let's see. Yeah, that was a horror publication. It was called Stiff Magazine. It was back some time ago. And I wrote for them for, gosh, about 7 years. Yeah, about 7 years I wrote for Stiff. I eventually worked up to editor-in-chief of the whole magazine and started, you know, basically handling all of the written content in it. And then, you know, thanks to... some creative differences that myself and some of the other staff members had with upper management and the brass, so to speak, we decided to branch out and do our own thing. I'm like, you know, and I don't really want to limit myself to horror. Like, right. I love horror, but I like all nerdy things and geeky things. Like, so we launched Nerd Nation magazine in... Oh, my God, my co-editor would kill me because I don't remember what... I don't remember years.
Well, then you don't
what was
have
that,
to...
2014, I think?
Okay.
Maybe.
I think it was 2014 that I launched Nerd Nation. And then just kind of went from there. And we went all digital because, quite honestly, print is dead.
Unless, like the Mecklenburg Times,
you have a very niche audience.
You have a very niche audience and you fulfill a legal obligation for real estate companies.
There is that, too.
Which, you know, they have to pay you, so that makes you a sustainable print magazine. Yeah.
Or you're an ultra nerd like me, and I occasionally do have to buy books. Actual books.
Occasionally have to buy books? What bullshittery is that?
Yeah, I believe you.
I mean, I literally have to beg or we don't have room in the car.
That was just for the Tolkien shit.
You complained about my inflatable, which is also deflatable purchase.
Conrad, Joey, tell us more.
It was so we were at a charity auction and they had this amazing, which will probably be part of the Geek Gala charity raffle, this amazing heart-shaped lips inflatable chair with cup holders. I was like, was Rocky Horror.
Those aren't called polders at all.
I don't know. The girl put her hand in there and I was like, that's just obscene. Stop it. But yeah. But,
while it was inflated or deflated? Because I feel like that would make a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It does make a big difference if it's inflated or deflated. But anyway, Carol was like, why are you bidding on that? We won't be able to fit that in the cart. I'm like, it deflates.
That's how you do it.
We'll make it fit.
We will make it fit. Meanwhile, she's bidding on a 5-foot-high Tolkien plaque. And saying, we'll strap it to the roof of the car. It'll be fine.
It's longer than your car. So that would
oh, my
fun.
God. It was crazy.
Wanda can sit on the top. Sorry, Wanda.
Sorry, Wanda.
Oh, I would have put the poster on top. I would have put the plaque on top. But I lost the bid anyway, so there.
I know. But anyway, that has nothing to do with digital.
Sorry. So wait, so no, you actually got the lips check?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I have it. Oh,
yeah. Okay, well, I am totally sitting in that thing at the Geek Gala.
Yeah.
Which, sweet. By the way, is on my side of Charlotte.
Yes.
Like, I checked the map on that, and I'm like, oh, snap, that's 5 minutes from my house.
Yes, it is November 3rd. Yeah. You can get VIP tickets. We still have a few available, and it will probably sell out. Feel free to go to geekgala.com, buy a ticket. It's going to be an awesome party. You're coming this year, right?
Absolutely. I'm Dave Harlequin, and the Geek Gala is my favorite party in the Citadel.
There you go.
Oh, can you clip that out?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, I love it. Thank you. Now, listening to WKQZ.
Oh,
So what type of
so it's Nerd Nation magazine. Do you do, I know you do movie reviews because I see you at the screenings all the time.
Oh yeah.
What else do you do in the magazine?
We do film reviews, we do gaming reviews, we do comic book reviews, book reviews. If I can review it, I will review it. We do exclusive interviews. You know, obviously we tour the con circuit a lot. So between the magazine and the film, which really do feed each other. And matter of fact, right, the most recent one, we got an interview with Bill Moseley.
Oh, cool.
Of Devil's Rejects, House of a Thousand, Texas Chainsaw 2 fame, Repo the Genetic Opera. But, yeah, we we actually got a ton of content, especially at the more horror-heavy cons that are, like, just loaded down with guest list. We will totally go to those and can, like, 20 interviews. It's like, okay, I got content for, like, 2 months.
Cool. So that's awesome.
So you'll be doing Day of the Dead, I assume, in
Days
Charlotte.
Of the Dead, Charlotte. Yep, we, Adolfo Dorto runs that show, a very good friend, and we've been doing his Atlanta show for years. And when we heard that he was doing a show in Charlotte, I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
Cool.
Tiffles, do you have a question?
I actually, like, this is a weird question maybe, but does it cost money to submit your film to film festivals?
Yes.
So
usually, yes.
Oh, okay. So that's why, all right.
Some of them are free, some of them are not. It depends on the festival. Most festivals survive or even thrive off the submission fees, and that's the only way most of them are able to open the doors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Geek Short Film Fest has an admission fee.
Oh, okay.
At the Geek Gala. So have you submitted your film yet?
I have. Is it my film Freeway?
Yes.
Bill Mulligan's working with that one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Very good guy.
Yeah.
We're in the process of turning Bill into a meme. You see?
he's meme material.
I know. The rubbing alcohol thing. Oh, my God. Did you see that on Facebook? So the man put rubbing alcohol into a bottle of water, thinking surely nobody would drink it. And then in the middle of the shoot, he got thirsty, went over to the bottle of water, took a big, huge sip of rubbing alcohol. Oh, and then it showed him, like, heaving. It's like,
that's horrible.
He's like, I'm the one who did it. That's the problem. Bill Mulligan, folks. Let's make him a meme.
What was it? Back at Mysticon, we got this one photo of him, and it was like an extreme close-up on his face with, like, this giant cheesy smile. And then we started just
putting him on everything.
Like, on everything we could find and altering the photo every way we could.
Oh, my God.
And we did Infinibill for a while, where it's like his mouth inside of another bill and then another bill just going back. Then
and you were doing this during the con because we were on panels.
We were doing this on the panels. We were doing this at the bar, just sitting there on our phones, just photo editing and then sending it to each other.
Because we were getting tagged and it was popping up and it was causing shenanigans.
Williams did the best one, in my opinion, where he took Bill's smile and he replaced every tooth in Bill's mouth
with
another picture of Bill.
Oh my God, it was so funny.
And so
it
was like Infinibill with a mouth full of teeth that are also Infinibills.
Oh my gosh.
It was scary.
And this
but it
is
was
what
awesome.
Happens when creative minds get drunk at cons yes. and get together.
Yes. I'm just glad you're on our side. That's all I have to say.
No, absolutely.
As long as we keep feeding you beer at cons, we're
good. Just glad I never get in front of cameras.
I know.
That's why you do that. Right?
That's why I stay behind him. I got a face for radio.
You say you never get in front of cameras, after a certain part of time of the night.
Okay. Well, after a certain number of drinks.
Yeah. Joey can put you on there, and you don't find it for days.
Yeah.
So then you untag yourself, and it's over.
God damn it. Goddamn room party.
Yes. There was the time.
Anyway. Room parties, yes. That's right. There's one of those coming up for you guys, isn't there?
Yeah.
Segwayed.
Yeah, so by the time this airs, we will have already been to RavenCon, but yes.
No, we had a great time.
We had a great time.
We did.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
That thing with that dude, that guy was so amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe you guys all did that.
Well, you know, you weren't
I did it too.
To stop us, but, you know. You came in and you said, good deal. And we were like, okay. And when the cops came by, you covered. So damn. I don't know what to tell you.
I can't believe Carol did that thing with that inflatable thing after all those drinks.
I mean, after all of her complaining.
It has a hole.
It had two holes.
It doesn't mean
you don't want to have a hole, Carol. You're a woman.
Well, unless she went the other way.
With an inflatable chair.
We're a diversity-friendly organization.
My taste in women is horrible.
Hashtag whatever gets you there.
Inverted nipples only. So, Starnes Lord, do you have any questions for Dave?
I hope it involves inverted nipples. And
so we've cut off the tracks pretty bad. Can you save us?
Sure, sure. So, what do you like best as far as filmmaking goes? Is it the writing or the producing part of it?
Oh man, I love both of it. The writing is so just cathartic for me, if I could pick a word to describe it. I love to write. I love to just get these stories out of my head and onto something.
Right.
The producing side of it is taking an idea that you had and actually realizing and actualizing it. And when it works, it's totally worth it, and it's one of the most rewarding things on the planet. And when it doesn't, it is one of the most infuriating, want to tear your beard out things on the planet.
Oh my God. I so agree with you.
But, I'll go ahead and, throw another tip over to, tip of my hat rather over to Adam. Adam York said it better than I ever could. So I'm just going to steal his line because that's what producers do. and he said that nobody watches your ideas. And nobody gives a fuck how long you've been working on something, if it's 4 years or 4 minutes. What they care about is the final product. Get your shit out there and do it. You know, and that's and yeah, that's what that's where the rewarding the rewardingness.
That's where
I'm a writer, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a word now.
It's a word. That's where the rewards come from for me, mostly, is being able to actually not just have a good idea, but do something with it.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah, I know when I was in radio, I used to write the local commercials for the ads we sold. And sometimes the production partners, or all the DJs, because we don't have extra money in radio anymore than you do in print media these days. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, so you'd write a really good commercial, and then you would just hear it ripped to shreds because they didn't see your concept and you're not in the room as a director, and you're like, guys.
Yeah, that's that was one of the first things I kind of learned about it when I got into making them, is every movie is three movies. It's the movie you write, then it's the movie the director directs, and then it's the movie that the editor edits.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so by the time the movie comes out, it will not be the same movie you wrote, no matter what.
Right.
But, it just needs to be the movie that you're happy about.
Yeah.
Or at least that you finished.
And that's why it's so important to build a good team.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
Like, work with people you can trust and people who work well with you.
There you go. Well, Dave, tell us a little bit about where we can find you on the interwebs.
Oh, sure. If you're looking for, magazine entertainment stuff, you can find me at nerdnationmagazine.com. If you're looking for my film stuff, that's easy, too. It's astrangerconcept.com.
Yeah, and all the words are spelled normally. Thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a first.
And, if you're looking for me, that's easy, too. I'm on social media in places. I'm on the interwebs, and I'm generally the only one because I have a rather unusual name. Dave Harlequin, just at Dave Harlequin on everything.
Yep. And once you find one, you'll find them all.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Dave, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us today. Thank you for making the magnanimous effort of driving north in Charlotte. And we hope you have a safe Godspeed trip home. We'll get a... What are those things? Eagles that Gandalf gets to fly out of Mordor?
They're called eagles.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure.
Giant
eagles.
Yeah, because, I mean, God forbid Charlotte ever put any, decent public transportation in this town.
There is there is the Green Line right there.
Yeah, that's
here,
right. The new train's coming. Hopefully, I'll get to ride.
It's actually
up.
Opened up here.
It came.
Oh,
it came
here. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it came. There was goo everywhere.
I saw six people on it the other night. I was like stuck for it, and I was like, six fucking people, and I've got to wait for half an hour for this bullshit. I was, like, had to go all the way back. Still red light. Then people were allowed to go, and then boom, it came back. I was like, damn it, it's crazy.
Yes,
let's share. Sure,
but anyway, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Dave.
Hey, thanks for having.
Are we out?
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.